I'm delighted to be joined by Zoe Kors. She is the resident sex and intimacy coach at sexual wellness app Coral and former senior editor of LA Yoga Magazine. She has a thriving private practice and also offers her services through the Center for Relational Healing that specializes in the treatment of sex addiction, betrayal, trauma, and she has her brand new book. And it is her first book. It is a compilation of a lot of stories, a lot of different pathways, and it is sort of the encyclopedia of how we are trying to make our lives through this world and find intimacy, radical intimacy. She says in her book, it's baby steps may be fine for a lot of stuff, but you need sometimes you just need a revolution. She is joining me today from Los Angeles to Zoe Kors. Zoe, good morning.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
It's good. I'm good. And, I was just thinking, and before we got in, it has been, this pandemic has had a dramatic effect on an awful lot of people in our how long did we go without, you couldn't touch anybody?
Yeah, a long time. It's the pandemic has definitely sort of forced us to be with ourselves in a way that we have never been.
And that also means, and from a relationship standpoint, has had a dramatic effect specifically in relationships, or is that something just another part of the equation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of data out there that people report having less, we're physically confined with our partners if we are in relationship or with our families, or we have been. Things are opening up again now, but we're coming out of this two-year period, long time, where we have spent a disproportionate amount of time together. In a small space, and we also, another half of us who are not in relationship and live alone have spent that time alone, and everybody is feeling a distinct lack of intimacy.
Okay. Hence the reason for the book, Radical Intimacy. What is it? Shaking things up a bit. Now, intimacy there's many different types of intimacy. There's what, three main types of intimacy?
Yeah, I define three main types: emotional, physical, and what I call energetic.
And each one is something to explore. You have done your, well, I guess what, as a therapist and as a you have a podcast as well. But again, and a lot of stories, many of the people that you have in here are you have a number of stories, and including your own story. You include your own story, the different stages and the different ways that things kind of weave in and out over the course of a lifetime. There's a lot of different people in all of one person, isn't there?
Yes. Yes, for sure. I think what you're speaking to are the different aspects of ourselves and different ways to connect with ourselves, right? So so I do define the three different kinds of intimacy and the three levels of intimacy, which are self, other, and the world. And I think really what we sort of, our limited understanding of intimacy has the achievement of it dependent on someone or something outside of ourselves. And in actuality, the nature of intimacy is vast and readily accessible to each and every one of us individually. So, what we sort of miss is that we're looking to connect with people. We're looking for a feeling of deep connection. And that can happen when we're in relationship with someone else. And we long to, we crave this sort of like, that feeling of being intimate and being connected to someone and being seen for who we truly are, and seeing someone else. But that's one level of intimacy. Mm-hmm. There's a whole level of intimacy available to us with ourselves first. And so that's something that no one really teaches us how to do, how to really know ourselves through and through on all those different levels. in all those different realms, emotional, physical, and energetic.
You have to know yourself. And again, if you've been in a long time relationship with someone, it goes through different stages over the course of time as well. And it's also your feelings and all of the other things that you have involved in that also seem to go through stages as well. I'll back up. I've been married for 41 years, but I was married before. And unprepared, totally unprepared. and I think it was this fact, this falling in love type of thing, where you just simply you're in this. There really is. All you want is that one person. And you simply don't, what you realize is you're not communicating, you're not talking, you're not doing all of the other stuff that you really need to have.
Yeah, we are culturally conditioned, at least in the United States, to believe that sex and intimacy take care of themselves, that it's not something that we work on or invest our resources in. And it's... nothing could be further from the truth. We invest our resources in financial stability, financial wellness, health and wellness, fitness, physical fitness. There's a lot that we do to learn about parenting and to educate ourselves. But sex is such a taboo, and intimacy is something as well that, like, it's a skill set that we're not trained either implicitly or explicitly to do. So you end up with, and I too ended up in a marriage. I tell the story in the book. I had a 10-year sexless marriage in my 20s and had no idea what to do about it. And there was no one I could talk to about it. So it set me on a lifelong sort of purpose and mission to demystify intimacy and sex.
I said before we went on the air that, you know, in the United States or in America, we seem to have more hang-ups about anything. You mentioned the fact that we have sort of sex is a taboo and all of that sort of thing that goes on as well. But how different are we? And I guess I don't have the answer to this one, but do you, how in other cultures and in other areas, it can be quite different, isn't it?
Yeah, there are many different cultures all over the world, and some are much more explicitly sex positive or even sex neutral. You can travel around the world and immediately get a feel for how people express themselves, how they dress, how they act, what the advertising and entertainment is showing is often quite different. I mean, in Sweden alone, nudity and in Scandinavia, my father is Norwegian. In Scandinavia, nudity is treated quite differently. It's accepted and it's just part of being human. And even in families, it's not unusual. It's very common actually for parents and children to see each other naked all the time. It's no big deal. And so they don't equate the human body with sex, the naked human body with sex. And that would never fly in this country.
I'm 100% my family, both sides of my family, all came from, everybody in my family came from Norway. We were going to do a cruise around Norway with all of my daughters and other my family. I got three daughters and their my sons-in-law and et cetera. We're all going to go on a cruise around the in fact, it was going to be a trip around Europe, 2-week European vacation. Just happened to be picking the June and July of 2020. So
maybe you can get back to it soon. Let's all keep our fingers crossed.
Anyway, so as you have so many stories in here, and I think really you mentioned having a sexless marriage. There's so many. How common is that in your practice,
Steve? It is. Everybody's got something. I have learned over the years of doing this that there is almost, it with almost every single person, there is some question or issue or something that they would like to change or shift in their intimate life. I mean, not everybody has a sexless marriage, but almost every couple experiences some kind of desire discrepancy where one partner wants more sex than the other partner, and they end up having to navigate that together. And without the skill set or support or language or even self-knowledge to be able to do it skillfully, then what happens is a whole cycle of rejection and resentment and relational rupture, basically.
And you have, in as I said, in the practice, you have so many stories that are in here that are of various people at various stages. These stereotypes don't necessarily fit what the reality is, do they?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, it said you know, a stereotype would be the stereotypical male and the stereotypical female. Male wants, is sort of like the hunter, and he's out there trying to pursue as many different places.
Yeah.
And then the wife is the housekeeper the person who does all of the other important stuff in life, whatever, but who's there waiting for the hunter to come home, to speak.
Right.
Do you know what I
mean? Yes, I do. And, you know, I think that, social norms and expectations in that way have sort of progressively opened up and loosened, and people are, especially, you know, in a country where the economy requires that so many of us have a two-person income in our families. We sort of divide up all of the business of running a household and a family. We divide that up differently now than we did in, say, you know, 1955 or something. It's quite different. And, you know, and opportunities on the workplace, we still have a ways to go, but we are consistently smashing glass ceilings. And you know, women have an opportunity to have careers that, you know, decades ago we didn't have. So that has an impact on the family economy and the division of care for children, if there are children in the picture. So, one of the things that I really love about my work is really getting to know my clients and encouraging them to really explore and find out what's real for them, and to take all of the sort of messages that we are given that then we internalize as truths and believe that sex means a certain thing, or intimacy is hard, or, you know, it's just to be able to really evaluate and look at all of that conditioning and find what's true for us and how we like to express ourselves is really, it's golden. It's the most wonderful part of what I do.
You have a very busy slate. You have a private practice. Are things different? How long have you been in a therapist?
Yeah, and actually, I should clarify that I am not a licensed therapist. I'm actually a sex and intimacy coach.
Okay, all right.
Certified and trained, but there's a difference between therapy and coaching, so
okay.
I just want to make sure that I make that part clear. I have been practicing for 12 years full time.
Okay. And as you've gone through, I'm sure you have picked up a few things over the course of time. As you have learned from others and you have given to others, what seems to be how much has changed in 12 years in your life, and how much has changed in terms of your understanding of what you do?
Yeah, well, I am a perpetual student, and I learn. Yeah, you said it. I learn so much from my clients. I'm a voracious reader, and I take a lot of trainings. I continue to sort of educate myself. or get educated by someone else. But I learned so much from working with my clients and helping them sort of get to the root, explore what's happening inside of them and get to the root of what's going on. A lot has changed.
Yeah.
Right? A lot has changed. When I started doing this, the Me Too movement didn't exist. And, and, you know, gender, you know, non-binary gender and gender expression has really, the awareness has come to the forefront. And that's exciting. It's exciting for people to see people be able to express themselves and live their truth and not need to hide in the shadows. There's a lot. And then the pandemic, you know, has really, I find that as difficult as it is, and as hard as it's been for so many of us to grapple with what it means to be connected to each other and what's important and how to cultivate that connection in challenging times where we can't touch each other, that has been incredibly productive in a way.
And it is the book is called Radical Intimacy. There is so much more. We can't talk all day, but we can say that it is cultivate the deeply connected relationships you desire and deserve. Again, it is Zoe Kors, the author. She has a podcast. And your website, what's the best website for you?
ZoeKors.com.
I figured it was. Anyway, Zoe, thank you so much for joining me today. And good luck. And let's hope that we can basically hopefully help some people at least direct their way to heal a little bit, okay?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Steve. It's been a pleasure.